Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining our Sunday morning Hilchos, Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ha'ezer, Simen. Well, we just finished Simen Hey. We are now beginning Simen Vav, a brand new topic. And as you see, the title of this Simen in the Shulchan Aruch in red on your screen is Nashim Ha'asuras LaKohen V'din Eishes Kohen. Who is a Kohen allowed to marry? Who is a Kohen not allowed to marry? And the very first halacha that we're going to talk about is something that I know at least two cases, and I'm sure many of you know a case like this, and that is, can a Kohen, we know that the Torah says a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, but sometimes, you know, as they say in French, you know, you just happen to fall in love and she happens to be a Grusha. So what about then? So can a Kohen relinquish his kahuna? Can a Kohen say, I was never really a Kohen, I was just joking the whole time? So that's the goal of today's shir. Can a Kohen do that? And I know, as I mentioned, at least two scenarios where a Kohen did attempt to do this because he, I guess, you know, fell in love with somebody who just happened to be a Grusha and he just happened to be a Kohen, although it could probably have been avoided if there was a disaster, significant enough desire to avoid it. There are some very painful stories that devolve around this Shaila. A Shaila that I had, I didn't have the Shaila, but I was, I did get to see some of the Beis Din proceedings regarding a very painful Shaila. The Shaila was, a young man was very far from religiosity. He started going out with a Gentile girl, and they started growing, and he and she became interested in Judaism, and she was encouraging him and pushing him to become more and more and more religious. And she was also, you know, got involved in the Geirus process for herself. And as they were coming closer to Giyur, and maybe, I don't know if they were already, you know, living as a husband and wife or not, I don't know exactly, but they were basically, she was pushing, maybe they were already married, I just don't remember. And she was pushing him to become more and more and more frum. He was becoming frum, Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Kashrus, started learning, and Baruch Hashem was becoming a real Ben Torah. At a certain point, he realized that this woman who is planning to convert and be his wife, and with whom they, you know, who's the woman who is pushing him to become from all these years, was, you know, she's she will be a Gioris when she converts, or she had converted, she was a Gioris. And he discovered or realized that the Kohen, that he's a Kohen, that his father's a Kohen. And now you had a very painful situation. We know that besides a Kohen's prohibition to marry a Grusha, he's also not allowed to marry a Gioris. And here you have the woman who is pushing him to become religious and to commit himself to Torah and mitzvahs seems to be, now that he's a Kohen, off limits for him to marry because he's a Kohen and she, l'maaseh, is a Gioris. So we had a very painful Shaila that maybe we'll talk about when we get up to that nekuda. But these are shailas that are real shailas that do come up, and they have come up in our, again, I know of two cases in this neighborhood, this larger neighborhood, you know, the Five Towns area, and certainly many more that you probably are familiar with. So let's begin with the Pasuk in Parshas Emor. Pasuk in Parshas Emor says, V'emar Hashem Moshe Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Of course, the beginning of Emor are the mitzvahs of the Kohen. Tell the Kohanim, first of all, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. A Kohen is not allowed to become tamei l'nefesh. I had an interesting conversation. I had one of my boys in shir this week didn't know what tumah meant. He was came from a not-religious background or a very, very relatively secular background. And he'd never, like what you and I just assume, tumah. Every, you know, six-year-old or seven-year-old boy, from boy or girl knows what tumah means. But try explaining what tumah means to a 24-year-old college student who wants to understand and says, so what's the, you know, how does tumah apply? So tumah only applies in the Beis Hamikdash, you know, if you don't have the temple, so then there's nothing to do with we don't have eating sacrifices, so tumah is meaningless. I'm all tumah, you're all tumah, we're all tumah, we can't become tumah until we get the red heifer. So no, I tell them the one halach of tumah that really does apply, aside for Hilchas Nid, that's a different din, that's a din Isser also. The only din of Tumah that really applies nowadays is that a Kohen cannot become Tamei Meis. That's one of the Isurei Kuna. Okay, and just a few psukim after that, the Torah continues with the Isurei Nisuin for a Kohen. Isha Zona, number one. Vachalala, number two. Lo Yikachu. V'isha Grusha Meisha. Make sure you have the Mapik Hei there because these two words, Isha and Isha, mean two different things. Isha is a woman, and Isha means her husband. Lo yikachu ki kodeshu le'lokav, kadoshu le'lokav, a Kohen is not allowed to marry midoraisa, a zona, which we'll talk about later, a halala, which we'll talk about later, and a grusha, which we'll speak about right now. So a grusha, a divorcee, is not, a Kohen's not allowed to marry a divorcee, it's an iser midoraisa. What we have to ask ourselves before we move forward and talk about a Kohen marrying a grusha, a woman who's a divorcee, what about a woman who got chalitza? Now, that we're not going to dwell on it because it doesn't happen too often. Yes, we did have a chalitza in our neighborhood about 4 years ago. A member of our shul actually did a chalitza to his, a member of our shul's father did a chalitza to his sister-in-law just about 4 or 5 years ago in the Good of Long Island. So it doesn't happen too often, but let's say you happen to have a woman who's a chalitza. So it's sort of like, is chalitza gerushin? It's not really gerushin, but it's somewhat similar to gerushin. It's disconnecting herself from her yavam, from the whatever marital bonds she might have with her yavam. So is she allowed to marry a kohen? So here we have a Gemara in Yavamis, which we'll look at quickly and then move away from. Chalutza d'rabanunhi. Chalutza is taka, yes, asr, but only midraban. It's not going to be midorais, it's only asr for a grusha, but chalutza is only asr d'rabanan. Oh, what if it's a suffik chulutza? For example, there was a suffik, there's a question of terms of the marriage, there's a question as far as the chiyuv yibum, and they did a chalitza misafik. So if you have a suffik chalutza, you have an issa d'rabbanan, that's besafik, what do you think? Is it going to be usher for the kohen to marry that suffik chalutza? So says the Gemara, suffik chalutza lo gazer barabbanan. Frak the Gemara, really, chalitza is only midrabanan. V'chalutza drabanan hi, v'atanya, grusha, we make a drasha on the pasuk, we make a drasha on the word of the pasuk that we just cited above. 1 second. We cited the pasuk, isha zonava chalala yikach v'isha grusha me'isha, the word grusha says, grusha, ain li'ala grusha, chalutza minayin tamulomar v'isha. There's an extra word in the pasuk. Look at the pasuk here. Sorry. The pasuk could have said, Isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu, and grusha me'isha lo yikachu. Why does it have that extra word, Isha? The Gemara says that it's to be, this Braisa says, to be marbe, another scenario, another person in this Isser d'Oraisa. That being a person who's most similar to a grusha, which would be a chalutza. So the Braisa seems to say that, the Braisa does say, that chalutza is learned from this extra word, isha, and therefore a chalutza should be also midoraisa to marry a kohen. Why are you saying it's only a drabanan? And if it's going to be indeed daraisa, we should have a suffix, should be lechomra, not lekula, as you're suggesting in the Gemara. And says the Gemara, no. That drasha is a beautiful drasha, but it's only an asmachta. Midrabanan hu. A chalutza is only also to a kohen midrabanan. Ukra is just an asmachta be'almahu, and therefore, a chalutza, we assume, is only midrabanan, and a safik chalutza is indeed going to be permitted to a kohen, it will be a safik on a drabanan. Now, what, Pesach, are you talking to me? I don't hear you. Wait 1 second. What's that?
So the question is, how do you have a safik chalutza? What's the case? I mean, she doesn't remember she did it or not?
I don't want to go into that, but just regal achas, you could say that the marriage with the dead spouse was a suffolk marriage. She was suffolk married to a dead spouse, and that dead spouse dies. And now there is a suffolk if she needs yibum or chalitza, and he did the yavam did chalitza out of doubt. That would be a suffolk chalutza. Maybe there's some other scenarios, but that would be the easiest. Okay. Let's put chalitza out of the way. Let's get back into kahuna. Now, what happens if somebody, a kohen, does marry one of these women? Again, we'll focus on grusha, but a chalala and a zona, who will be defined later, and a grusha, zok the Rambam, in Yisrei Bia, Perek Yud Zayin, kol kohen, shen nasa, achas mehashalash nashim elu, bein gadol, bein hedyot, whether he's a kohen gadol, here gadol doesn't mean whether he's an adult or a child, it means whether he's a kohen gadol, or he's a hedyot, a regular kohen, v'baal, and they had Bia, loka. You see something very important from the Rambam's nusach, of how he presents this Isser D'Oraisa. What does he add that you might not have realized when you just saw the Pasuk? The Rambam adds that there's only an Isser D'Oraisa, and let me rephrase that, that the Kohen will only get Malkos for this Isser D'Oraisa of marrying a Grusha if he did Nisuin with her, Note that he says nisua, not kiddushin, and there was a be'ila. Those are the two requirements in order for there to be malchus. However, continues the Rambam and explicitly limits what he just said, vimbale aderech znus, let's say they're just living together, but there was no marriage. Ein aloka mishum zona o grusha o chalala. Shneimar, because the pasuk says that we just saw, the pasuk says two words, lo yikachu. Yikachu always is the lashon of likuchin. It's not just living together with a person, but it's the lashon of likuchin, of marriage. And therefore, the Rambam concludes that if there's only znus, then lo yikach, the person will not get malchus. Shneimar lo yikachu, ad sheyikach v'yivol. There has to be a real kicha. The be'ila has to be the context of a kicha, of a marriage, and therefore, only then, if there will be a marriage, will there be a malchus. Now, based on this Rama, what would you say about the following situation? You have a person who's not terribly religious. They're Jewish, they're sort of from, they keep kosher, they keep Shabbos, but, you know, a halach in a Rambam or a Gemara or a pasuk, for that matter, isn't going to stop them from marrying the woman who they love. So you have a Kohen, and he comes to the Rabbi and says, Rabbi, I know you're not going to be happy with me, but I'm not asking if you approve, I'm just asking you to do the wedding. I'm marrying this girl, she's a Grusha, I'm a Kohen, you know, I had a hard enough time finding somebody, I finally found somebody, I'm not interested in your Musser, will you marry me, will you not marry me? If you won't marry me, no problem, I'll go to someone else who will marry me. Okay, so what does the Rabbi say? Or maybe the guy says, if you don't want to marry, don't marry, but I'll just be living with her anyway. So I might as well live as a husband and wife, no? According to this Rambam, the rabbi might say, you know, Mr. Cohn or Mr. Katz, it might be better for you. I'm only saying Katz because Cohen said that, because the last name Katz is often associated with a Cohen. Mr. Cohn, it might be better for you. You're going to live with her anyway, okay, so live with her, but don't get married. Because once you get married and live with her, now you'll be in the violation of the Chi of Malkos. You'll be in a higher level of Isser D'Oraisa if you're actually going to be married to her. So again, I think you should find a different wife. But if you're telling me that, no, you're going to be living with her either way, just a question of getting married, okay, so live in sin, but don't get married. Because if you get married, then you're going to be more Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv Malkos, which might be worse. That might be, I'm not paskening that way, but you hear it with the logic. I'm just trying to bring out what the Rambam is, what Chiddush is coming, halacha l'maisa, from this Rambam, that there's an added dimension of the Nisuin that makes the Grusha l'kohen a more chomer dika iser. Okay. Now, the Ravid questions this. We're not going to go into the Ravid. I'm not sure what the Rav doesn't really like, but we're not going to go into the Rav. But that's the Shitas HaRambam. One more halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam says that what we just spoke about, that the prohibition of a grusha, a zona, a halala, again, which we didn't define those other terms yet, is only if the Kohen marries her and then lives with her. That's limited, the Rambam says, to those three. A Kohen, a regular Kohen who marries a Grusha, Halala, and Zona. Aval Kohen Gadol, we know that a Kohen Gadol has a different halacha. A Kohen Gadol has a higher level of limitation, and he's not even allowed to marry any woman who is a Ba'ula. He's not allowed to marry even an Almana. Aval Kohen Gadol, Shabbal Almana, Loka Achas Afopi Shalokidesh. When it comes to the Isser for a Kohen Gadol, there, even without marriage, even just living with an Almana or a Ba'ula, somebody who's not, a woman who's not a Basula, already the Bia will be Mechayiv Himalkos, Shenemar, because by the Kohen Gadol it says, Lo Yichalel, Kevin Shebala, Chalala Upasla Lakuna. So there's a special halacha that's more Chamer when it comes to a Kohen Gadol and a Ba'ula. However, a regular Kohen who only has the three limitations of Zona, Chalala, and Grusha, Val Zona, Chalala, Grusha, that's not going to apply. Fine. Okay. Now, that was the first halacha that we had to learn. Let's learn another Gemara in order to allow us to see the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to have to learn two more halachas, and then we'll be able to see what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Tanya, the Braisa in Yevamis Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph talks about what happens if you don't have something that's a definitive gerushin. We know there are a lot of halachas of a get. And in order to be Megurashes Midoraisa, there are a lot of details that have to be met. What happens if you have a funny get, which we'll talk about in a minute, what's a funny get? It's a get that's not really a totally kosher get. But the husband gave it to his wife, and she's
what
now...
What we say for that is a korov law, if not the usual...
You're talking about a suffix get.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm saying a funny get.
Okay.
Not a suffix get. You'll see what it will be. The Rashi will tell us explicitly what the specific scenario will be, but I'm not talking about a suffix get. A suffix get, we will speak about. The Shulchan Aruch will address your question explicitly, but we're not up to that yet. So the Braisa says, Isha grusha me'isha. Afilu lo niskarsha ela me'isha psul lekuhuna. V'hainu reach haget deposo bekuhuna. The Braisa says it's something called a reach haget. It's not a full get. A husband gives his wife a funny get. We'll see what the word funny get means in a minute. And even that, even though it doesn't constitute a gerushin, since he gave her that funny get, whatever it is, even though they're not really divorced, it wasn't an effect of divorce, it's enough to qualify her as a grusha so that she will be asura bikahuna. What is this funny get that's called a reach haget? What's a reach haget? Zokt Rashi. If you give a wife your wife a get, you say, you are hereby divorced from me. But you know what you wrote in the get, in the second half of the get? It said, sweetheart, you're divorced from me. But I don't permit you to marry any other woman. What do you mean? Isn't the get supposed to say, you're divorced from me, and therefore you can marry any other woman? Well, yeah, that is what a get is supposed to say. But that's not what he wrote. He said, you are hereby divorced from me. This is your get piturin. This is your get of divorce. But I don't allow you to marry another man. That's called a funny get. That's called a reach haget. It's not a get.
It
does not create divorce. Halachically, they are still married. They are not divorced. But he gave her something that we call has a reach haget. And therefore, once you give her something that has a reach haget, the Gemara here is telling you that that woman will be off limits to a Kohen. That, for example, the husband subsequently dies. He never divorced her. He gave her this reach haget that wasn't a good get. If he subsequently dies, guess what? For the purpose of marrying Kohen, she's not going to be able to marry him. What do you mean? She's not a grusha. You're right, she's not a grusha. She was never divorced. He gave her this funny get, this reach haget. We learned that this braisa teaches us that even that will disqualify her from ever marrying Kohen. That's the halacha called reach haget. Now, one last halacha before we get to the Shulchan Aruch. And this is a question in a Mishnah. Let's say the husband wrote a get for his wife, but has not yet decided definitively if he'll give it to her yet. He has a feeling that he doesn't like her, or he definitely doesn't like her, but he's wondering if he should try to settle, try to mediate, try to go to therapy, and see if it could be salvaged. So, you know, it happens to be the sofer's passing through town. He asks the sofer, do me a favor while you're here. Please write my wife a get. And then, and then when it came to actually handing it to her, you know, he got cold feet and he didn't give it to her. Says the Mishnah in Gittin Pei Aleph, Kos of the Gaish as Ishto, he wrote a get to divorce his wife, Vinimlach, but he decided not to give it to her. Okay, now what happened after that? If he didn't end up ever giving her the get, so she's never really divorced. But he wrote one for her. He intended to give it to her, but he changed his mind and didn't. And then he dropped dead. He got hit by a car. He died. So now this woman, did she ever get a get? No. Did she ever get divorced? No. Nevertheless, comes Beis Shammai and says, Pasla min ha-kahuna. The fact that the husband wrote a get for her, even though he never handed it to her, he never delivered it to her, the fact that he wrote a get for his wife, that is sufficient, says Beis Shammai. Already that to pasl her min ha-kahuna.
Pasuk says, chasa v'nosan. How could he say that?
Yes, that's what the pasuk says by Gittin. But this halacha of psul l'kahuna apparently is even if it's not. I don't know if it's derais or derabanan. Right, this psul.
These are all chumras derabanan that the Gemara has. I mean, obviously she's not divorced, but they made a higher level for kohanim.
Right, it's going to be similar to the Re'echa Get, I assume. That even though she's not, it's not really Get, it's not a Gerusha Midoraisa, but there's a Chumra that maybe it's like a Gzeira not to come to a real, that anybody once you, once a Kohen writes a Get for his wife, he's not, you know, she's already going to be considered a Gerush. Okay, but that presumably is Midrabanan. But anyway, that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Don't get so nervous, because of course, Beis Hillel, whom we follow, argues, and Beis Hillel Omrim says, not only in the case that you said where you thought to write it, where you wrote a get but didn't give it to her, of course there she's not a grusha, and of course she could marry a Kohen, but even if he gave her a get, but it was a get al Tanai, and the Tanai was never fulfilled, so again, he handed her a get, and said, if it rains tomorrow, you're hereby divorced. The next day was a beautiful day. It was sunny and 73 degrees, sunny and sunny the whole day. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. It didn't rain, so the get wasn't chal. Even though he handed it to her, Beis Hillel says, even though you handed a woman a get, if it was a get al Tanai and the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, then you did not pass her for a ketuhuna. Certainly if you never even gave it to her. Of course, we're going to follow Beis Hillel, so don't worry, Yossi, that since the get wasn't did not actually create a gerushin, we don't have to be concerned. The only concern that we will pass like is that re'echa get that we mentioned earlier of the where is that Re'echa Get case? Right, the Re'echa Get that the Gemara and Yavamis told us earlier, that if you gave her a get that says that you're divorced from me, even though you cannot marry anyone else, so halachically, according to the Hilchos Gittin, that's not a good get, and she's not really Mikureshes, but that's considered Re'echa Get, and we learn from a pasuk that since you gave her a document of divorce, even though it actually wasn't Chal Midaraisa, then you will be considered a Grusha. For these purposes. Okay, so we have learned a few halachos in Shas. Now we're ready to see it paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we're going to get into some of the practical cases. So, Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, Evan HaEzer, Simen Vav. Kohen, Asur Min HaTorah, Begrusha, Zona, V'Chalala. Those are three Midaraisa, V'Asur B'Chalutza Midarabanan. Now, what's going to be the Nafgamina, whether it's a Daraisa Isur to marry such a woman, or a Darabanan Isur to marry such a woman? Very simple. Let's say he did it. Does he have to divorce her? Lefikach, says the Shulchan Aruch, im avar v'nasa safi chalutza, if he did violate this Israel already and marry the safi chalutza, well, let me rephrase it. If you did marry one of these women, whether they're Daraisa or Darabanan, of course you have to divorce them, because any subsequent bia that you'll have will be an Isser, either Daraisa or Darabanan. But let's say it's a safik. So avoid safiks. Don't marry a safik chalutza. But if you did, it's a safik, and it's only a derabanan, you don't have to divorce her. Lefichim avra v'nasa safik chalutza. Again, two weaknesses. The fact that A, it's only a chalutza, which is derabanan, and B, it's only a safik chalutza, then ein tzarech lehotzi. Aval, let's say a guy didn't know that he was a kohen, or a guy didn't know that she was divorced, she had a previous marriage. Sometimes I like to joke. When young couples come to my office because they need to get their marriage registration filled out, because, you know, even sometimes there are rabbis from Misadri Kiddushin who aren't legally certified by the state of New York to ratify or to officiate at a wedding. So they have the Misadri Kiddushin, the Rosh Hashiva, and then, or Rosh Hashiva from Eretz Yisrael, and then they bring it to, you know, to me or to one of the local rabbis to fill out the documents. So I like to joke often, you know, I look at the marriage license, and it says, you know, talks about any previous marriages and previous husbands, previous wives. And I always look at the, you know, the young 21-year-old Kala, and I say, he told you about his two previous marriages, right? And she looks at me very quizzically, very nervously. And I say, no, don't worry, I'm just joking. So let's say you have such a situation and the girl didn't know, you know, the girl didn't tell the Kohen that he was a Grusha. You know, they're married, and after 3 years of marriage, she said, by the way, you know that, you know, 15 years ago, I had a very short stint with a guy. We got married. It was a, you know, whatever. He didn't treat me nicely. We were married for a month or two. I never really told you about it because it's such a long time ago. It's such a short time. I didn't have any kids anyway. What do you mean? He's a Kohen. So will he have to divorce her now? Yeah, 100%. Aval Grusha, says the Shulchan Aruch. Aval Grusha, afil ein ela safik Grusha, even if it's only a safik, but it's an Issa Daraisa, right? Tzarech lehotzi, bein sheniskarshim min ha'erisin, bein sheniskarshim min ha'nisuin, even a Grusha min ha'erisin, even a safik Grusha min ha'erisin, even if they're already married, you have to divorce her. I had a case, I had a student, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful happy ending, but I have a student who's a Kohen. Last name is Kohen, and he's a Sephardi, grew up not religious, but very, very proud, Israeli Sephardi, very proud of his Kohuna status. He was a Kohen, last name Kohen, and he was a proud Kohen, a really proud Kohen. His father wasn't religious, but, you know, he duchened, he, you know, they were traditional. He duchened, and he birkat kohanim, a really very proud Kohen. And he was going out with the woman who ultimately was his wife. And he said to her many times, because again, she wasn't, you know, he knew that he was marrying, you know, they were growing together. She was also becoming religious, and but she was not a, you know, she grew up as a, you know, party girl, a rich party girl on Long Island. And he told her, I want to just make sure that you never, again, we're not going to talk about this now, but that you never spent the night with a non-Jewish man. Wherever she was for college and whatever party college she was in, and things happened in college. And he said to her many times, I just want to make sure that you know that if I ever find out, we could be married 10 years from now and we could have 5 kids. But if I find out that you ever spent a night with a non-Jewish man before we got married, I will have to divorce you. And he had that conversation with her a few times to show that he really meant it, that because that would render her a zona. If a woman, again, we'll talk about this later, if a woman lives with a non-Jewish man, she has a din of a zona, and that's one of the 3 people with whom it's asur d'oraisa for a kohen to marry. And he made sure, and we spoke about this, he said, I told her again and again before he got engaged, I said, please make sure and please be honest with me that you never spent a night with a non-Jewish man, because if you did, at any point in our marriage, if I ever find out that that is the case, we will have to get divorced, no ifs, ands, and buts. Baruch Hashem, she never did. And Baruch Hashem, they have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Torah Dikah family that they built together. And he's a Kohen, his baby, his little boy is a Kohen, his children are Kohen and Baruch Hashem. So happy ending. But if that wouldn't have been the case, if she would have done something that she didn't, that the husband didn't know about, and they got married, they would have to get divorced. They would have to get divorced. Fine. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch continues with another halacha, which we also saw about Reach Get. Va'afil Reach Get posel b'kohuna. Even if a person only had a reach get, which again we saw in the Rosh Hashanah, will explain right now, also we will require them to get divorced, and we'll even make them. We'll even make them get divorced. We'll force them. How do we force? That's not our sugya. How does Bezin force people out of marriages? For example, if a guy does marry a grusha, what does the Bezin do about it? How do they force? We're not going to get into that now. Vehechi Dami asks the Shulchan Aruch, what is this Reach HaGet that we said is possible? We saw this together just 5 minutes ago. Kagon Shamala, he wrote in the Get, Hare at migureshes mimeni, you're divorced from me, but ve'i at mutaris l'chalado, but you're not mutaris, you're not permitted thereby through this Get to marry anyone else. I mean, he pulled back from the full heta that should have been provided by a Get. So Av Bishal Hutra b'zeh Get, that's not a Get. He didn't divorce her thereby. Because there is the get was lacking part of the content that is supposed to articulate that she is allowed to marry anyone she wants. So it's not a real gerushin. Nevertheless, nifsa lekuhuna, that's called reach haget, and a reach haget is sufficient to pass the her lekuhuna. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Shulchan Aruch specified that if you did an aveira, if you married a grusha, even a suffolk grusha, you're going to have to get divorced. Now, the story that I told you is not a story about this boy, Mr. Cohn, my student, who married this balas tshuva. The concern wasn't that she had been married before. She was all of in her young 20s. She was never married before. The question was that she might have a status of a zona. So here, that the Beis Shmuel addresses here. Even though the Shulchan Aruch only said that you have to get divorced if you married a grusha, says the Beis Shmuel, it's equally true about safik halala, safik zona, kula midaraisa. And therefore, if you're going to be married to a safik zona or a safik, you know, if she spent the night when she was in college with a man who she didn't really know if he was Jewish or not, but his last name was Friedman or Goldberg, maybe Klein. She doesn't know what this guy, you know, a name that's sort of a Jewish name, And she had no reason to assume that he was Jewish other than a last name. So that might be, you know, she doesn't know the way this guy lives. They were together after they had a party in college. They got drunk and whatever happened that night, you know, 5 years ago when they were in college. And so she might be a Suffolk Zona. And even if she would get married to Mr. Cohn, Mr. Cohn might have to divorce her because that might be a Suffolk Zona. That's a frightening story. Something to think about. That's what Beis Shmuel adds. Not just Suffolk Grusha, Suffolk Zona also. Okay. Now, we're going to start talking about two interesting cases. We have the background, we have the Shulchan Aruch, we have the Be'er Heitev, the Ba'er Heitev, who's one of the Mefarshim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, who often, you know, brings together what the other Mefarshim, what the primary Mefarshim say. Here he brings in a case, the following case. Let's say, you remember we spoke about a chalutza, and we said that a chalutza is only aser midrabanan. Kohen shechuchza b'kohen yamim rabim. You have a guy who's a kohen. We assume that he was a kohen for many years. V'nasa chalutza ki lo yoda shechalutza hi. You see, you have to realize that getting married and divorced is a big thing. You're going to tell your husband that. You're going to tell your husband you got married and divorced. Everyone knows you have to tell your husband, you know, that you were once married. You're living with someone else. You built a family with somebody else. Okay, that you're going to tell your husband. But if a young woman, for whatever reason, God forbid, a young woman was married. Let me think for a second. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. You have a woman who got a chalitza. And she knows, she went to school, she went to, you know, she went to Beis Yaakov, she went to day school. She knows that the Torah says that a kohen can't marry a grusha. She's not a grusha. She never got gerushin. She was married, her husband died, she got chalitza from her brother-in-law. She was never divorced. The kohen said, "Are you divorced?" She said, "Absolutely not, I'm not divorced. I know a kohen can't marry a divorcee, it says in the Torah. I learned chumash, I learned vayikra with my mora in fifth grade. I know that a kohen can't marry a grusha, I'm not divorced." She didn't realize that chalutzas also are asur d'rabbanan. So she never told him. She never told him. You know, they both had their history. They both had previous marriages. And as long as, you know, she wasn't a grusha, the kohen says, okay, I can marry you. So she never even thought to tell him that she was a chalutza. Because that's not what they taught in fifth grade Beis Yaakov, in fifth grade day school. They didn't teach you about chalutzas. Why should they? So now they're married, and this Mr. Cohn finds out that his wife is a chalutza. Now let's think for a second. If it would be a grusha, he'd get divorced, of course. But she's only a chalutza, so it's only nisud rabbanon. Are we going to make them get divorced? Now it is a nisud rabbanon, but are we going to force them to? They probably should get divorced, because every time that he'll be with her, he'll violate an nisud rabbanon of being with a chalutza. So that's what he should do. But what's the Beis Din or the community's responsibility? Does the community have the responsibility to break up this marriage, to forcibly break up this marriage and to force them apart? So here, since it's only Drabbanan, we have the following. Comes the Shvus Yaakov, Ein Kofen Oso Lahotzi. Why? Pasak Shvus Yaakov, according to Marash Dam, Ein Kofen Bekoni Bizman Hazet, Dekoni Safik Ninhu. You know, the whole issue is an Itzad Rabbanan, right? And do we have the right to enforce something? Are we so certain? I can invite you to do the right thing. But I can only force you if I am absolutely, definitively certain of what I am about to do, if I am planning on forcing you. Can any Beis Din say with such definition, with such definitiveness, that you're Vaday Kohen and it's Vaday Asur for you to be with this woman, even Midrabbanan? You see, any Kohen that we have nowadays is really a Suffolk Kohen. We don't have perfect Yichus, going back to Aaron HaKohen.
You're Muchzik, though.
What?
You're Muchzik.
Yeah, that's correct. Muchzik, Mazel Tov, you're Muchzik. But you're not a Vaday.
If you're based in Mises Beis Din, you kill up Yichuzaka.
That's true. You have to figure out what kinds of Chazaka. I don't know if it's that the same Chazaka that we're talking about here.
Well, not related to me, Truma, but
he can't be led into a cemetery.
Yeah, we'll be machmir.
But here we're dealing with a drabbanan.
First of all, it's a drabbanan. And second of all, would you, if you see a Kohen, Avi, if you see a Kohen walking into a Beis HaKvaris, and you tell him, Mr. Kohen, that's a cemetery, there are dead Jewish bodies there, and he says, I couldn't care less. Would you yank him out by his belt? Would you bang him with a sledgehammer till he leaves, or would you stand there with a knife threatening to cut off his, I don't know, his toenails if he doesn't?
I wouldn't do that if he was eating a cheeseburger.
Okay, so again, in order to force somebody, in order to force them, you have to have a vaday. And the point here, that's what the Shvus Yaakov is saying.
How do we know someone's really Jewish?
Okay, you're raising lots of questions. I hear your point. The Shvus Yaakov is saying,
in as much as he's Jewish, he's also claiming to be a Kohen.
Okay, so yeah, Avi, if you want to push me in that direction, I'll just say that you hold like the next line. Look at the second bullet point. Avi, you've been holding like the Shvus Knesset Yechezkel b'sava cholik al Shvus Yaakov. Because of Chalila Lahotzi Laz al Yichuzei Kuna Bismanazeh. How could you say that our Kohen is not a Kohen? What kind of Motzi Laz are you doing? How could you be assuming someone's not a Kohen? Of course you could force them to divorce themselves from this, even this Hadraban, even this Chalutza. Certainly a Grusha, we'd separate them. But even a Chalutza, it's only a Hadraban.
Yeah.
We assume they're a Kohen. How could you cast aspersions and cast questions on the Kohanim nowadays? Because if you do, you know what happens? If you do, you're going to open up a box of worms, a Pandora's box. Should you call HaBechorim Mibli Peduyim? If you say that people aren't Kohanim, or this guy's not a Kohen, oh, maybe he's not a Kohen, I don't want to force him. By saying that, you're being nice. You're not separating him from his wife. But you know what else you're doing? All the people that he was poda over the past, 20 years, are now going to be not padui because you just said that he's not. You're thinking of him not as a Kohen and letting him stay with that wife. So by doing so, there's a flip side to that. You're also assuming that all the Kohenim that he was poda, all the Bechorim he was poda aren't paduyim. So therefore, what we have here, Abosai, I'm not here to paskin. I'm showing you we have a machlokas, achronim, machlokas, haposkim, at least by nisudur abanon. If by nisudur aisa, we would definitely be mafrish somebody. By nisudur aisa, we would definitely be mafrish somebody from such a marriage. By nisudur abanon of chalitza, of a safik, by nisudur abanon of a chalutza, who's married to a Kohen, and it would be a Safi Chalitza, maybe it would be Mekel. But if it's a Vade Chalitza, but it's only Nisid Rabbana, maybe we wouldn't force. Again, we would encourage him and her to get divorced, because it's not right. But to force, you have to have a certain level of certainty, of verification, of certitude, of certainty, of Vadeiness. And you don't have that, so I wouldn't force. That's a Machalokas. Should you or shouldn't you? Yeah. Great. Now, we're going to get up to the exciting Shiloh. This is going to be the exciting Shiloh for today. And here you have the Shaila that the Pesachei Tshuva presents. I'll put it in italics because it's the question. And the answer, we'll see a multi-part answer, but the question is a very geshmaka question. And I assure you, this question is halacha l'maisa. Watch it as it goes. I am a Tshuva's chutzshani. This is not the chutzshani of Rav Nissen Karelitz, because that Rav Nissen Karelitz wrote his Sefer Chutzshani, a few years ago, and this is written 200 years ago by the Pesachei Tshuva. So, Be'isha Chad Shalim Muchzak Kohen Tesvav Shon. There's a guy in the neighborhood, he's been living here 15 years, and we always call him up for Kohen, and he's the guy who's been duchening for us, he's the guy who we've been using for Pidyon HaBen for the past 15 years.
Home?
And lo and behold, somebody has their...
Central station.
Somebody's...
They said the police here.
So, lo and behold, somebody wants to, they meet a nice girl, and she happens to be a Grusha, but she's a beautiful Grusha. All of a sudden, his tune changes. He was always a careful Kohen, he did all the things that a Kohen is supposed to do. And now, he meets this wonderful young lady who happens to be a Grusha. V'ata kidesh Grusha achas. And note he says, guys, you know why for the past 15 years I wanted Rishon and I duchen? Because I like kavod. I wanted the kavod of being the Kohen. That's all. I'm not really a Kohen. I just wanted the kavod. And I appreciate the kavod that you gave me for the past 15 years.
When it comes to Arias, you don't trust anybody.
Okay. Behechish es kuna salom. And he now denies or renounces or relinquishes his kuna. Not relinquishes. Denies. Behechish es kuna so. And he now denies his kuna lomar. Kimi olam lohaya kohen. I was never a kohen. My father's not a kohen. My brothers are not kohanim. Oh, why did I always ask for Rishon? Umash amashu kohen. Lohaya ela bishvil litol gedula la'atzmo. I like the kavod. I like kavod. So I guess he likes kavod and now he likes other things. So, I like Kohen, and therefore I passed myself up, I presented myself as a Kohen, but I really was never a Kohen, and I'm really not a Kohen. I was just joking. Okay, now the joke's over. I'm going to marry this Grusha. So how, you're the rabbi, what do you say? Does anyone have a good svara one way or the other?
We had this earlier in our shirim, so it came up in another context, and we said we don't allow him to do that.
Any svaras? Especially because he has what we call an amasla. An amasla is a good excuse. The excuse is, I like COVID. I wanted the COVID. He's not just saying, oh, really, yeah, I'm not a Kohen. He's saying, I'm not a Kohen, but I'm giving you a reason why I did it. My reason is that I like getting Rishon. It gives me a thrill. I feel powerful. I'm power hungry. And if you look at me in business, you'll know I'm power hungry. You see how I deal with my family? You know I'm power hungry. So I'm power hungry here also. I always have to be the first. I have to get Rishon too.
Why don't
you
get out of the
chazoka? Wait, Chazen, what are you saying,
Chazen? And check with the rest if he has brothers or father to see what they are.
So you're saying do research. Okay, let's say research, there's nothing, no research to do. We can't do any research. We don't have WhatsApp and we don't have Google and we're far away from wherever he was born and we're stuck. The question is, to believe him or not believe him?
You don't believe
he's going against the chazaka.
You don't believe him because the reason why he's doing it, it's Arias. And I think you have this fair. When it comes to Arias, you don't trust anybody.
Okay, so you're all in agreement. Yasi, what are you saying?
We also say Adam Korav Eitz Malatmo. Or of Korav Eitz Malatmo. He can't testify.
Yeah, but on the contrary, you could say that Pesha Asuhu Pesha Hitir. He's the only one. What?
He also had a chazaka that he was a Kohen already. By doing all these things, he's going to go against the chazaka.
He made up the chazaka, so now it's all coming from him. We didn't know that. It's not like we knew his father or his brothers or his family. He walked into the tent. He moved here, presented himself. Gabe said, is there a Kohen in the house? He said, yeah, me. I'll take Rishon. So he presented himself as a Kohen, and now he's saying, Pesha Asar, who are Pesha Yitir? I told you 15 years ago I was a Kohen. Guess what? It was all a joke. That's the question.
The Shabbos, where a fellow in shul got Levi for the first time. Until now, he had been in Yisrael, and the Shabbos, he got Levi. It did not explain. He said it's a long story and just didn't get into it.
That happened in the white shul with a very prominent member. He became a Levi after some research. He was a member there 20, 30 years. That was about 5, 10 years ago, in the white shul.
And then at some point, after doing research, he...
Yeah, somebody was wondering, maybe there was a kever in...
He saw a kever. He saw his kever that he was a lady.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I know who it is.
Okay.
A prominent member. Yeah.
So here we have the opposite. We have someone who thinks he's a Kohen, and then, you're giving away, if he's a Kohen, then all of a sudden he goes to visit a kever and finds out that he wasn't a Kohen, that might be a little different. Here, it's without... Okay, so let's see what the Pesachit Shuvah paskins. So what is the Chutzshani Paskin? Because of Hadavar Pashut, She'ein HaKohen Yachol HaHachish Mashahoyo Mufzik Bozman Rav. Like all of you said, we will not believe him in such a case where he already had a Mufzik that he was for so many years. In fact, we have the concept when we were learning the halachas of a Kohen who walks into shul and says, I'm a Kohen, do you believe him or not? We already said that if somebody's Mufzik, even Shloshim Yom, some of you mentioned the idea that we kill somebody based on a chazak, even 30 days is enough. That's talking about a different halacha, I think, if somebody's assumed to be his, without getting into those cases. Even 30 days is enough of a chazaka, even to kill somebody, certainly here, 15 years, that certainly is sufficient to chazaka that you can't just deny it and denounce it. Oh, frek the wait a second. But this is not just denouncing or denying. I'm not just saying, I am not a Kohen. I'm saying, I'm not a Kohen, and I did it for a reason. I did it because I love Kavod. And look at the rest of my lifestyle, you'll know that I love Kavod. Vein lomar, oh, hare nasana masle dvarav. We have a rule that if you did something, but later on you say something otherwise and give an explanation why. For example, the shayla of a masle comes up. Let's say a woman tells her husband, I'm an Ida. And then the next day, she says, I'm not an Ida. He says, that doesn't work like that. If you were an Ida yesterday, you can't all of a sudden, you know, pop and become... He says, no, yesterday I wasn't really an Ida, but I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't want you to bother me, so I said I was an Ida. But I'm giving you an amasla. I'm giving you an explanation. I'm not just saying something changed. I'm telling you why I said I was an Ida. Because, oh, that's a good shayla. These are good shaylas. And other such situations where a person has a reason why they said whatever they said. So in such a case, here, does the excuse that I like Kavod, is that an acceptable excuse? So first of all, the Piskei Tshuva, believe it or not, gives 7 reasons why this amasla is unacceptable. This explanation that is offered is an unacceptable explanation. Chada, shein ha-masla mivureres. It's not specific. I did it because I like Kavod. Come on, that's not, you know, if you tell me that if Anita said that she said this because she had a 104 fever and she wasn't feeling well and it was for that night, that's one thing. Just to say I like COVID, that's not specific enough to be to constitute an amasla. Number 2, there is a limitation to accepting an excuse, to accepting an amasla. What is the limitation? Look at what he's about to say. And this goes into the sugya of when we accept excuses and when we don't accept, when we accept amaslas. Says the Piskei Tshuva Avod, here, it's not just that you had an excuse, I like Kavod. But based on your liking of Kavod, you actually did a maisa. Once you do a maisa, that takes away your ability to say an excuse. Va'od dekol she'asa maisa lo mahani amasla. When a woman would say, again, I don't remember what the halacha is, when a woman said, I was a nida, and the next night she said, it was only because I had a headache. There, she didn't do a maisa based on that amas. She just said, I have a headache, stay away. But here, he said, oh, I like COVID. But you acted based on that. You can't undermine, you can't use an excuse to undermine so many actions and going up to the duchen so many times, getting on rishon so many times. Fine. Thirdly, Vafilu l'man d'amr d'mahani, even according to the those who hold that an amasla, an excuse works, and it will be acceptable to explain why you said, why you changed, why there's a change of heart. Hainum lo asa ha-maisa raks man mu'at. Even if it works, an amasla works on a maisa if it's one time, two times. V'gam lo asa ha-maisa kokach begalei le'enei kol. T'chuli hai lo machsef inish nafshei. I mean, if you did it once or twice, but if you've been living this way for many years, and you did so many actions, then we won't accept an amasla. Next rationale. Here, by a Kohen, I'm sorry, if you really are not a Kohen as you claim now, then not only did you just lie, and you gave an excuse why you lied, because you like Kavod, but you actually... Duchind be'isser. You said a bracha, you said Shem Hashem levatala. There's an isra say for a non-Kohen, for Yisrael to duchin. So you did an isser. We're not going to accept that you had an excuse for you changing your tune. I just was joking. Okay, you could joke about jokes, but you can't joke and say, that based on this joke, based on the fact that you like COVID, therefore you did isurim. We're not going to accept an excuse if it's an excuse that is excusing you for having done Isurim, like, for example, Duchin as a Yisrael, and saying all those Shem Hashem Vatalas. Okay. Okay, you see the point. You see the various, we don't have to go through the rest of them. You see the various arguments about why, in this case, such an excuse will not be accepted. And therefore, he concludes, the Chodshani side and the Piskei Tshuva concludes, Umikol Hani Taimei, and for all these various reasons, Amina, I will say, Shein Yachal Lahafish Kuhuna, so you can't just deny your Kuhuna. And therefore, if you said, oh, I'm not really Kohen, I was just joking, and you marry this Grusha, we will force you out of it. V'kofno Soligarsho, Kumo B'Kohen Ta'alma. Just because now you're saying, oh, you're not really coming, you're just joking, we will actually, not only will we tell you you have to get divorced, but we will force you out of this marriage. We will force you out of the house. Is there a difference? Maybe nowadays we have less of a mesora about if we're really Kohanim or not. Yes, I know that in the early generations they had a ksav yichus, which we don't have a yichus, you know, a written shtar yichus. So you're just like every other kohen. Nowadays we don't. It's in the olden days there are certain kohen miyuchasim and not miyuchasim, but nowadays none of our kohenim are miyuchasim. So they're all in the same boat, and we treat all of them not based on yes or miyuchas, not miyuchas. We assume you're all in the pot of kohenim, of kohenim, and therefore you can't just deny it later in life. Okay, so that was the Pesachei Tshuva's response to one fascinating question. Now, another little bit of a question. Based on what we're asking, based on what we've been discussing, these shilas, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes an interesting tshuva of the Minchas Ani. Here, you have a Kohen who did an Aveira. He was Mekadesh, a woman, but he never was did nisuin with her. He was mekadesh a grusha, but that never did nisuin, never moved in with her. Kohen she'ar v'kiddush is a psul lekuna v'achaga girsha. Does he have to do tshuva for that kiddushin? Im tzar tshuva v'kapar ha'kiddushin. Mi amrina, do we say that since you didn't, remember we said before that if you only get malchus if you do nisuin and have bila? But if you didn't do the Nisun and the Be'ila, then you don't get Malkus. If we say that you don't get Malkus, you just did Kiddushin, does that mean that it's Mutter? Or that you didn't do an Isser Drabanan? You didn't do an Isser? O Dilma, look at the end of this highlighted piece. Nihi Dein Oloka, maybe if you didn't do Nisun and live with her, you don't get Malkus, but you did an Isser by the Kiddushin. Again, the question here is there an Isser just to do an act of Kiddushin on such a woman? Like for a green card. There's a grusha who desperately needs a green card, so you want to go through the motions of doing a kedushin so you could write down that the rabbi married you and that she's legally married. Halachically, she is married. Kedushin is marriage, right? But Lemaisa, you're a Mr. Cohen and she's a grusha. She needs it for the green card. She'll give you $50,000. I'm not saying that's a good thing to do. I'm not saying it's legal. Don't play games. But they did it. So was it an issa d'rabbanan? Does he have to do tshuva? So here, okay, there's a question among the poskim if it's asur drabbanan just to do the kiddushin, even if there won't be any bias, maybe the kiddushin will be asur drabbanan as a gzera drabbanan that you might come to do bia afterwards. Okay, and therefore, we assume the Pesachei Tshuva assumes that it will indeed be asur at least drabbanan, asur drabbanan, isur drabbanan, yaika. Presumably there will be an isur drabbanan, even just to do a kiddushin, even if it's not followed by any suin and by bias. Okay. Now, next case. The next case is, you have a guy named Mr. Cohen, and he's a Kohen, and he meets a girl on the dating website, and he goes out with her. And she's a grusha, and she's already an older single, and she hasn't had anyone who liked her. And here she finds herself, finally somebody's going to say yes. And wait a second. I'm sorry, she's an older grusha. She's been married once before, and she got divorced 30 years ago. Nobody wanted to marry her now since she's a grusha. And finally, there's a guy who's willing to marry her. A guy is willing to marry her. It happens to be his last name is Cohen. It happens to be she's a grusha. But wait a second. He's the Kohen. He's the one with the problem. He's the one who can't marry me. But I'm not a Kohen. I'm not a Kohenis. I'm just a regular Bas Yisrael. I'm a Grusha, but do I have any Isser to marry him? Maybe if he's, again, I wouldn't tell him what to do. If he wants to marry me, that's his problem. I'm not his Mashkiach. I'm not going to wake him up in time for Kriya Shema. I'm not going to make sure I'm not going to ask him to see what he's watching on his iPhone. He does what he does. What?
Would it be Losita Mikshal?
Would it be Lifnei Iver?
No?
I don't know. I'm not so worried about Lifnei Iver. She's not such a lamdan like you. So maybe it is, maybe it is, maybe it's the Raisa, maybe it's the Rabbanan. Okay, that's the question. That was a question asked to the Radvaz, believe it or not. The Radvaz, I believe, lived in the 1600s. Early 1600s, maybe even. Or late 1500s. Shalta.
They had dating websites then?
What?
They had dating websites then?
It was one of the very, you know, one of the very primitive dating websites at that stage. Shalta, al kohen shirata lisa grusha, v'amru krovei ha'isha. The girl's feeling, right, that her father wants to get her married. This, you know, he has this young divorcee in the house and can't get her out of the house. So he finally, there's a guy who'll take her. So the father says, oh, it's not her iser. V'amru krovei ha'isha, she'ena isha averas alav zeh. Because the pasuk that says emor al kohanim, right, he shall not take. It's his problem. If he wants to do it, he's not religious, that's not my problem. It's his iser. That's the shaila. Is that acceptable? I mean, it's not acceptable, but if the guy doesn't care, because the guy, you know, the guy doesn't keep kosher and the guy doesn't keep Shabbos, but, you know, so he doesn't keep this iser either. But what about her? She is a traditional girl. She is religious. She does want to do. She does want to get married to a man whom her parents will accept. Answers the Radvaz. Look at how he answers this. Mazu Sheila, what kind of question are you asking? After all, we know kol ha'onshin regarding all the onshin in the Torah. Ha'ish v'ha'isha shavim bohem. Ukmo shehu over. Kein hanisei slo gam kein overes. It's equal. Whenever you have an iser of marriage, it's a two-way street. It takes two to tango. She'ein hefresh ben ish li ish le'onshin, except one case and one case alone, and that's in the case of Shivcha Harufa. We're not getting into that complicated case now. But in every other prohibited marriage, even of kahuna, it's not just us on the kohen, it's us on both of them. The same way as an iser for a kohen to marry a grusha, zona, halala, it's us for a grusha or a zona or a halala to marry a kohen. It's a two-way street. And I shouldn't even be, and he has a few lines to the tshuva, and he says, I shouldn't even be answering you this shaila. I shouldn't even be writing, spilling my ink and wasting my ink or my time or my breath on this shaila. V'dovez eloya k'day laharich. Ella, as Yossi Saif said 20 minutes ago, v'shem degeza v'arayas halev chomdan, umivakshem tainas v'tonas latiron. And since in these areas, people always, when it comes to arayas, people always look for kulas and look for heterim, and therefore it's a komanhig lamod beperetz. Every community leader has to be strong. Shlo yispata afil os achas mitoresenu hakdosha. Very powerful tshuva to say that don't play games. You're just looking for ways out, and you and I all know that this is not appropriate, and it's usher, and you shouldn't even be asking such a shaila. That was the Radvaz's response. Let's finish off this if with one more part of the Shulchan Aruch. Going back to the Shulchan Aruch, the part that we skipped, we didn't finish off this. We learned the Shulchan Aruch a few minutes ago. We skipped the latter part. Let's just do the latter part and we'll finish for today. The Shulchan Aruch continues and says, what happens when you have a Kohen and a Grusha? I'm sorry, when you have a Grusha, but the Grusha was a Grusha only from Kiddushin. She's not a grusha from a nisuin. She's a grusha only for kiddushin. Is she also off limits to a kohen? Well, we saw, and the Ramah is going to pass. Afilu lo nisgasha rak mishum. Oh, kol kiddushin ba'alma. Not only a kiddush. I'm sorry. It was not only a kiddush. Kiddush, of course, it's grusha d'oraisa. But what if there's a kol? There's a rumor. So the rabbi said there's a rumor that you were married. Maybe you know what it's like. It's like, you know, the in the co-ed class, they're learning in the co-ed day school in seventh grade. They're learning Maseches Kedushin, and they go to read. The boys and girls go to recess, and one of the boy takes, you know, his gummy bears or his super snacks or his fruit leather, and goes to, you know, one of the girls in the class and says, "Oh, you know, we just learned here. Harayad mikudashesli kadas Moshe Yisrael. Harayad mikudashesli with a fruit leather zoo kadas Moshe Yisrael." Ha 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 ha. And then they go back to class, and the Rebbe says, "What did you do? What did you do? Let's say they're in seventh grade. They're already bar mitzvah. What did you do? You gave her a fruit leather and you said Harad Mukudaris, yeah, we're saying that's what you're learning in class. Is that serious? Is that what you did? Okay, so whatever. They'll go ask the Shaila and they get okay, but there's a whether they're married or not, let's assume they weren't married, let's assume it was a joke. But there's a kol kiddushin. So out of, you know, an abundance of caution, they are encouraged, give a get. Give a get. It's like a kol kiddushin.
Would be the same thing.
What?
If they had a tanayim?
whatever constitute, whatever will generate a kol of kedushin. I don't know if a tanaim will constitute a kol of kedushin. That we'll have to ask the poskim. Whatever scenario based on the environment, the societal norms generates a kol. Whatever the halacha of a kol of a kedushin is, afal pishu borish in mamish bosan kedushin ve'enos in kederak mikoch chumra bi'alma afilu hachi psula lekahuna. Wow, this is from a Rashba. The Rashba says that even we didn't see this yet. Even if a person gives a get just out of a chumrah, just in case there's a rumor, just give a get. It's easier if there won't be any questions. Such a woman, even a get that she receives in such circumstances, will no longer be able to marry a kohen. Of course, unless, and this we saw in the Mishnah Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Avam Nasal get al Tanai v'lonis came at Tanai, but if he mamish gave her a get, but it was al Tanai, the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, eino klum, that is zero, ve'eino posel, and concludes the Shulchan Aruch, v'rashai kohen l'chatchil l'gayish al Tanai. If a kohen wants to be m'gayish al Tanai, he can. Fine, let's move on. When we said here that we are concerned even with the kol of a kedushin, that a get that's given as a chumrah for a rumor, says the Beis Shmuel, quotes the Marshal that says, Dafka b'michshudeches yesh lachash l'kol kazeh. If you have a couple that was engaged, and there's a kol that there was a kedushin, then for that kol kedushin they gave a get, that a get will have to, you know, will make her invalid. But if you just had two seventh graders and they're just giving a get for a chumrah as a kol and they were never even engaged, that kind of get that they just get as a chumrah because of a kol kedushin, that you don't have to be worried about. That get will not aser her for a kohen. Dafka b'mishudeches yesh lachash l'kol kazeh. Aval ba'am, if you have two, a guy and a girl, there's some kol that went out that they're mekudosh and they gave a get just out of, you know, to quell the kol, that is not, if they're never engaged to each other, not mishudachim one to another, then we wouldn't prohibit her to marry a kohen. Fine. Finally, when we say that they gave, again, another point about this kol, if there's a kol that the bezin says you have to give a get, that's what we're worried about, that kind of kol that he gave a get on. But if, let's say, the guy just said, I might be married, there's a kol, kedushin, I just want to quiet things up for you and for me, let me just give you the get on my own volition, that kind of kol is not a kol for which we should be worried about. Imhuno is saying the last five words over here. Imhuno is saying, get me at. So not because the Bezin required him to as a chumra, but he gave it for himself as a chumra. Lo and not to chal piyadin. That also lo have a get. So again, in this very specific situation of if he gives it not out of necessity, but out of a kol, so there are some details. It's only if they're meshuddach, only if the Bezin requires you to. If you just do it on your own, that wouldn't be necessary. Okay, so we'll stop here. We finished the first se'if, Baruch Hashem. The next se'if is an uncommon halacha, talks about miyun.